right, welcome in to another week of Ball Don't Lie. My name is Cole Polly. I'm hyped to be here again this week. We've got a big episode coming at you. I'm very pleased to welcome a special guest this week. He is a former member of the TCU basketball team. Last year, he was number two in your program, number one in your heart, Sean Olden. It's good to have you here, Sean. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
It's gonna be a fun time. We got a whole bunch of topics I want to talk to Sean about. It's awesome having you here. I just had to get this out of the way first off. Klay Thompson last night. You see, Warriors Bulls. Klay Thompson's record last night: 14 threes. What do you think about that performance by Klay?
Yeah, another crazy thing he done did. I remember my freshman year, you know, watching him have that game where he had about 60-something. But just in, like, three quarters, we were at Outback as a team when I was at Pepperdine. And he was going crazy.
You know, during that, y'all were at Outback watching that crazy.
Yeah, and we were just watching on TV. I was like, man, this dude's going crazy. And then after, they talk about he only took, like, 12 dribbles the whole game.
Oh, man, I remember that, too. Like, however many dribbles that was, it's just crazy. And I'd seen that he had been kind of in a slump like the first few games of their season this year. And I just knew when I saw that he had been in a slump, I was like, he's gonna snap out of it and he's gonna go off. And of course, hits the most threes of all time in a game. But I was gonna ask you he didn't get his career high, like that game you were talking about, he got more, he scored more.
Yeah.
And it was only in like three quarters. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter of that one. He got 52 last night. I was gonna ask you what's your career high? You can go back as far as you want. You can go back to elementary school, you can go back to junior high, whatever. AAU. What's your career high game points wise?
I guess just starting off at high school, high school game, like 43
is pretty big.
Yeah, something slight. And then AAU, really probably like a 50 ball. That's pretty often, just the dynamics of our team.
Yeah.
And from D1 basketball. 21 at Iowa my freshman year.
Okay. At Iowa, that's pretty good. Like, that's a pretty big game. That was when you were a Pepperdine.
Yeah, shout out Iowa fans. Y'all, that game was crazy. It was packed out, sold out. It was crazy.
Did y'all win that one?
Nah, they beat us by, like, 7. And then the crazy thing is they turned around the next game, like, the next week, 4 days later, and beat, like, number 6 North Carolina.
Okay.
By, like, 12.
Right, and y'all were like right there.
Yeah, so you know, we obviously thinking next day at practice, like, yo, we in here, like, we got this, we could beat number 6 North Carolina.
Right.
You know,
like, it's a Final Four year.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So how good was your high school team? Like,
oh, we were straight. We was running the state for sure.
Okay.
Like, from my sophomore year. In my sophomore year, I didn't even play. Like, we had 9 seniors. They were tough. Shout out that team, Union Redskins. They went 29-0. We got that ring.
And that's at Tulsa?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, yeah.
So y'all went all the way, got state your 6A, sophomore year.
6A, yeah.
Man.
Oklahoma.
Ooh, that's big. That's pretty. So I went to a 4A high school in Central Texas. And mine, like, so, like, 4A in Texas is, like, 500 to 1,000 enrollment. And my school is, like, 550 enrollment.
Okay.
So we're like one of the smallest. Oh, yeah. We're, like, one of the smallest 4As. Yeah, we had my junior year, we, like, our basketball program, like, typically wasn't good, like, historically wasn't good. And my junior year, we won the first playoff game our school had won in over 60 years. It had been, like, a long while. So, like, we were decent, like, for our school. But honestly, like, my career high game, I really think probably the best game I've had was, like, 23 points. Like, I put up, like, 23 maybe in, like, a JV game my sophomore year. Yeah, I was just not too good. So, you got, like, around 50 AAU.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely a couple times. Like, especially my junior, senior. Like,
that's
right
pretty
before,
nice.
Them summers right before.
Yeah. We would play, like, we would go. You told me recently that you live in Georgetown for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I remember we would go over to, like, Georgetown. We would go over to, like, Austin and play AAU games and stuff. But we would play against teams that were, like, way better than us. So,
yeah.
Like, that wasn't, like, the good, like, put up points opportunity. Like, somebody like you would have put up 50 on us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. <All right. laughs> Yeah, that's, like, the type of thing that would happen to us. But, yeah. like somewhere around like 20 is what was like going off for me. Like that was like, I got buckets right there.
That's a bucket. We talk about that all the schools I've been to, like what's considered, you know what I'm saying, classify a bucket. Mm-hmm. 20 ball, you talk about a 20 ball, that's a bucket.
Like, that's it. I mean, yeah, that's in there.
Because no matter what, how many minutes you play, even if you play 40, like it's still like you got 20 and 40. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. usually it's like you want to do a minute a point or whatever. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's the best. But that doesn't, you know, signify. Subtract that, boy.
No, you're right. Bucket. No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, that's some decent buckets. So anyway, kind of we're gonna get several topics here, and for those who don't know Sean or those who haven't followed TCU basketball as closely, he transferred to TCU last year, and was on the first TCU men's team to make it to the NCAA tournament in 20 years. I mean, obviously had a lot of success last season. Played a lot of minutes, especially in the absence of Jalen Fisher last season with his injury. Sean got a lot of played a lot of minutes at guard, and something I was going to ask him about. So I've just got a quick story about watching Sean last year. I'm gonna let him talk. So last year, I remember. So since he was new, we didn't know his game as much, and I usually try not to miss any TCU basketball games. So I'm there pretty much every game, and I remember the first couple times, like even like in the non-conference, like we have, you know, a few home games in the non-conference. And I remember Sean coming off the bench and pretty much instantly, like the crowd, like especially the student section, could just kind of feel his energy coming off the bench. Like, cause he's that type of a player that brings a lot of energy to the team coming off the bench. I even remember one of the first couple non-conference games, the student section, he comes in the game for like probably the second or third time in the game. It's like the second half. Student section starts chanting, "Let's go, spark plug." You know, like you got the whole chant going and everything, calling him the spark plug. And one of my best friends calls him the energy. Like every time he would come in, he just calls him the energy. So anyway, what I was going to ask him, or I was going to ask you, is what do you like better, first of all, between starting and coming off the bench? Like, what do you think, at least at the college level? Because I know, like in high school predominantly and stuff, you would start. You've started on a lot of teams, I mean, throughout your life, I know. So at the college level, what's the big difference to you between starting and coming off the bench? Like, what do you prefer?
I mean, I guess to me it's not really like a preference, I guess you could say, to me, just because I've seen both sides of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying? I've been a starter, I've been, you know, a bench player, role player. So I know how it goes both ways and how to be successful both ways. You know what I'm saying? It's really putting, you know, we over I. You got to put your team before yourself if you really want to win. Like, and I really, really want to win. I've never done nothing but win. Like, and that's why it's always killed me when we lose or when I've lost. Like, my team has lost in anything. I can't take it. I can't stand it. In high school, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we went undefeated my sophomore year. Junior year, might have lost, like, 3 games. Senior year, we won state and only lost 2 games. So mm-hmm. I wasn't used to losing. Mm-hmm. Not losing like, no, oh, we went 500. No, like single-digit losses, count them on my fingers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then rings after that.
Yeah.
So it's not that. It's just a mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what it when it comes with, you know, trusting in your head coach and your staff and knowing which way they want to go with the dynamics of your team. You know what I'm saying? If you're not that guy, then, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people need starting as a their ego booster because they don't have their ego there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, they're, you know what I'm saying? They don't get as hyped. So they need that starting and people clapping for them and this and that to get them going and get them hyped because they don't have no, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've never been a person that needed to find my why or do anything like that when it came to playing basketball. I come on this court. It could be nobody in the stands. I'm coming to play against somebody else that's really good and talented.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get the best of them.
Of course. Every time. Of course.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about too, is like, it's just, to me, it's kind of a difference in mentality just between starting the game and coming off the bench. And we've seen it, I mean, especially like anyone that follows the NBA, you know, that's not always the best five necessarily that starts. I mean, a lot of teams work their rotation that way to have somebody or a couple guys or whatever have the depth come off the bench and kind of like add that boost to the game. But it's also it's like you were touching on, it's a big difference between like kind of a type of player who really feeds off starting, you know, like that wants to start a game versus somebody who thrives in that bench role. And I really thought like you, like it, honestly, I've been a while, at least like once you could, cause if you're like somebody who's good enough to play at a D1 in college, obviously has started most of their life, you know, like it, like I'm sure most of your teams, like you were saying, you had a really good high school team at least. So you were saying like even your sophomore year and stuff, you hardly played. Mm-hmm. So you, I know you, I, so I guess you had some experience that way,
yeah.
But I know a lot of people that they like, you make it to the college level, your teammate, you know, it's the first level you've been at where your teammates are kind of that player that you were in high school, you know? So like, that's a hard dynamic to take care of. And then like, For guys in the NBA, it's the same way. Like somebody that was a star in college, and then you get to the NBA level where it's kind of everybody there was on that level that you were just at your previous level, if that makes sense. So it's kind of a tough thing to, like, I feel like, to manage your ego and know your role and like be able to come off the bench. And I just felt like last year you really, like, you were one that like took advantage of that opportunity coming off the bench, and you never, like, if anything, like to me, if anything, I thought you, like, relished it. Relished your chance to come in the game off the bench and, like, kind of make that difference.
100%. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I tried to the best I could because I know I can. Like, pretty much, that's what sums it up. Like, I've never been taught. Like, I've been blessed enough to have great coaches, you know, growing up that even if they weren't the best, like, basketball coach, maybe, per se, they were good at, you know, teaching me life lessons and just things that are right and what you should do with, you know, if you really love the game, your true passion and love for the game. So I was never going to let nothing come in between anything with me. I worked so hard to get here, and all the schools that I've been to and all the opportunities I've had. And I'm just, I don't know. I can't really sit there and let things go to the bottom just because of ego, pride, and you know, personal agendas and all that type of stuff. Because at the end of the day, I really want to win. Like, that's the whole thing. It would kill me if I wasn't playing and we weren't winning. Right. That would kill me. Because then I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, I should be getting my fair shot too. Well, I'm getting my fair shot too. Because at the end of the day, I'm coming there and do something.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if I'm not getting my fair chance, and it's just like, you know, dang, and we're losing? Nah. But if we're winning, bet, we're doing something right. That's the whole point. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's by a point or 30 points, you know what I'm saying? You're doing something right at that time. You're winning. Yeah. So whatever's happening is working. So, like, cool. I'm good with it. Exactly. Like, I just want to win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I've said.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like that's kind of the way it was last year. I mean, it wasn't a perfect season, but first off, the Big 12 is a tough, tough league.
Very, 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 very tough.
And then second of all, I mean, overall, it was a good season for TCU. Ups and downs here and there, whatever. But it was the best season TCU men's basketball has had in a long time, one of the best TCU men's seasons. So I think definitely there was something in that rotation that was working right. So I was going to say, along with that, coming off the bench, is there any difference in your pregame preparation to come off the bench versus starting, or you prepare the same way every game?
No. Every game.
So what's your routine?
Man, my routine starts way, like, not earlier, not in the morning, but as soon as we get our, you know, our pregame meal in, you know, I'm most likely going in and, you know, I got to get a little sweating because, you know, everybody knows, especially if you played, you know what I'm saying, you have your shoot arounds the day of and you really just kind of walk through, get a lot of shots up. Man, you kind of sweat, not really though, you know what I'm saying, but I got to go in there and get a good little sweat going before anything else. Go up there and get some shots up with the manager, you know, start in close and just do my daily, my shooting stuff, working out. Then I leave. And when I was at Pepperdine, I used to go take a nap. But then I kind of started,
That first shoot around, going and get a nap.
Yeah. Okay. I was young. I just wanted to, I was tired.
Back when you were young.
Yeah. I was going and taking a nap and then coming back up there, you know, like about 2 and a half before. But I've always done that. I always come pretty much really, really early. Because really I like getting in there. And even like after I do my little sweat workout earlier, I get, you know, my shots up and just I really get in there and visualize myself in a game time atmosphere before it even gets to where it is, like a piece of quiet, like, you know what I'm saying? Not nobody's in there before the security's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just get your mind right, get everything going. You know what I'm saying? Lock in where everything else outside of those lines is blurry and ready to go. And then I'm pretty much just there chilling, constantly back and forth doing things, stretching, going to the training room, stretching, whatever, a lot of different things.
Yeah. You have music you like to listen to? You got specific music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, I guess it depends on the day or who I'm playing, I guess. But really, off tops, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to Drake, Listen to some Famous Dex. Always got to listen to some Future.
Like that.
What else? Dang. Some Travis.
Okay, a little Travis.
Yeah, a little Travis.
So you kind of you like to mix it up a little bit?
Oh, for sure. You definitely can't go just one way. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like how I look at basketball. Like, I'm not going to just shoot, or I'm not just going to drive. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it all. So got to listen to all types, right? Both.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like the Drake. I like the Future and all that stuff. Like, I remember when I was in high school, I used to, like, especially, like, a couple of particular years in there, I remember, like, I'll come in and, like, listen to the same song before every game. Like, sometimes I get, like, a little superstitious like that. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if, like, we're on, like, a win streak or I've been playing well or whatever, I'll come in there and listen to the same thing, like, every, you know, like, you're superstitious at all? Not superstitious?
I mean, nah, not really. But, like, I get what you're saying. I did that one time when I was, like, maybe a freshman or eighth grade when I was, you know what I'm saying, eighth grade or ninth grade of high school. Mm-hmm. And we was killing, going crazy. I was going crazy. And so I remember I was really listening till I collapsed. Like right before last song I could listen to before we would get on the court, would it had to be Till I Collapse by Eminem. And I just thought that's the one that got
us too hyped.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. I like that.
crazy.
Yeah. Eminem got that. So that was working for you that year.
We went undefeated, won all that. Oh, like, never didn't lose, same squad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Shout out that squad.
I like that. Yeah, it's always, I feel like it's interesting to hear about guys' different pregame routines. Everybody's different how they like to get it locked in. Like, I know I had teammates in high school that like to keep it super loose right before the game. Like, they like to, you know, like to joke around and keep it as loose as possible. Other guys, I feel like I was a little bit more on this side right before a game where trying to get super focused, like trying to like keep it low key and get like really focused. So it's interesting kind of how everybody's different that way. You feel the same, like you feel like your college teammates, you feel like everybody's kind of got their different thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. You got dudes, they got a bunch of different things, rituals, whatever they do.
Yeah. I
mean, but you know, most of the time though, when they do show it, it's pretty much consistent. It's mm-hmm. how it's going to be every game day.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So kind of moving on, like we were talking about kind of some of Sean's bio earlier, but for those who don't know why, you know, like why he's not back on the TC basketball team this year, it was like a roster thing, right? Like it was got a bunch of recruits kind of at once and then had people like coming off of redshirt years and like it just didn't work out with the roster. It wasn't like it obviously they wanted you back on the team.
Yeah.
It just like ended up being weird roster numbers.
Yeah. It's just dynamic situations, so
yeah,
transferring, graduating here in December and getting to another team as soon as possible,
right? So that's what I was going to say next is like kind of the situation you're in right now is a little bit like a free agent choice. Like it's almost like an NBA free agent kind of trying to decide where they're going to go, and there's always like I feel like every free agency there's a lot made of like what a free agent values, like whether it's LeBron or whether it's like a more minor free agent. Some whether they value, I know like money is not involved for you in this situation, but there's a lot of different factors that go into it as far as location, as far as is it going to be a winning team? Am I going to be able to get minutes on this team? Like there's so much different stuff that goes into it. So how do you look at it? Like what do you think kind of is the most important thing to you as far as like choosing where to go, kind of choosing a team?
Oh, every time, you know, really, and I've always wanted to say like it's based off of like what you haven't or have done, you know what I'm saying? Like just what your knowledge of it now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's pretty much the same for me. You know, you got to go to a team, to a coach, a head coach that really, you know what I'm saying, sees you in the system, what he wants, the direction of where the team is going, you know what I'm saying? And then other than that, you know, everybody you got to have good teammates. You got to have unselfish players, like dudes that are really on the same page. It's not about them or this and that and minutes and off the court issues. It's just we here like every time you step in there, it's about us right now, us 15, 16, 17 dudes, the staff, and we're here to go get on somebody else. And if that's not your mentality, like I've never really clicked with those other type of players,
right?
Because I know how I am and I know the direction that I want all my teams to go. Because like I said, I'm here to win,
right?
Wherever I go is to win, so all those things are important. But at the end of the day, you got to be your head coach, straight like that.
Yeah, see, like, I was going to ask you that, too, because I've never been in a position where a head coach was talking to me, like, you know, about trying to have me on a team. So what's that like if you're trying to kind of evaluate, you know, you're trying to kind of evaluate the, you know, like there's a lot made of the fact that that head coach is trying to evaluate you, that team's trying to evaluate you, see if they want you, but you're also trying to see about them. You're trying to see how you see yourself in their system and how you see you and that head coach interacting. So what's that like talking to a head coach like that?
Oh, it's strange. I mean, it's just, it's pretty normal. But at the end of the day, you gotta get to find out your answers and things you want. You gotta ask the questions. You feel me? Because some coaches, you can tell they'll talk around things, dance around things, but they the thing is, they're really not gonna just straight lie to you, because you know what I'm saying, they're humans too. Mm-hmm. So you gotta really ask it though. You can't just not ask it. You know what I mean? You gotta really ask whatever you want to ask. Like, so coach, like, how do you see me in your offense? Like, what do you see me doing? What's your envision? Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you. You know, and yeah. You got some coaches where you can, before you go in to visit or whatever, or meet with a coach, you'll hear some things. Mm-hmm. So you'll either hear like, oh, this guy's he's a straight shooter. He's going to tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. Ain't no BS. Ain't no sugarcoating. Or you got those guys where it's like, man, watch out. Because he tends to just say some. He just tends to just be talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you can't ever just. You got to always go into it, do your research before. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. That's where they got to go. That's where you. That's the direction you have to go with it. Because you just want to know, like, what it is, what you want from me, because I know what I'm wanting from you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm wanting to come play for you, a scholarship, blah, blah, blah. I need you to help me after school with agents, going to the league, going overseas, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, what do you want it from me? You know what I'm saying? What are you envisioning for me? Because mm-hmm. if not, I can't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's like a two-way street. You know? It is. Like, so if I hear your vision and kind of see your vision, and I'm like, nah, that's really not what I want to take this time, because that's kind of how I was when I made my decisions everywhere I went. Like, mm-hmm. man, you know what? I'm trying to go to a team where I'm just going to play. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Even if we battling and we middle of the conference and we have a mid-major, like, I'm trying to go play, start. Like, all right, let's do that. And then you got other players where you be like, man, these dudes are tough. Like, this dude can go to the league. This dude can go to the league, da da da. Now you got to battle with those dudes, and you're like, okay, is starting really that important, or you just want to play in this type, the biggest stage possible, and be where you're at? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know you're going to get your opportunities and your chances. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You just got to make the most out of them. And then I've chose to do that. I did that.
Of course, yeah.
So, like, it depends on that, what you want. Like, I know what I want now. I've always known what I wanted. So mm-hmm. you just got to go do it. Show that, you know what I'm saying? You open the life. Life going to hit. What you going
to
do back?
Yeah, and I know there's, I know you're a guy that wants to win, and it's always interesting talking about playing time. And I've never been like near the level of basketball that you are, but in my high school career, I was lucky enough to, even when I wasn't on varsity, I was lucky enough to be on the level of team where I played a lot. I didn't start the entire time, but I was lucky to play a lot at each year, and the short window, like, any short window, even if it was only a game or two or whatever, where I didn't play as much or maybe didn't get the minutes at the end of the game or whatever, that's a tough thing. Like, that's pretty tough, actually. And that's always kind of made me respect, like, especially NBA free agents and stuff that want to go somewhere where they're going to play. Like, that's a tough – I mean, there's a lot of different things to evaluate, but and you always take winning into account, but – It's tough not to play. You gotta evaluate what you think your role is gonna be on that team. So I just feel like that's the tough part of it. Is trying to think about playing time, you know? Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, let's see what else I have for you. Oh, definitely. So we talked a little bit about how you're like, you're kind of in that transition phase. So right now, we've talked some about how you're kind of just working on your game every day, making sure you're in shape, making sure you're ready to go kind of for that next step. So I was going to ask you what's your favorite part of your game to work on? Like, what do you, when you're getting in the gym, I know you're going to work on everything. You're going to work on ball handling, you're going to work on shooting, all that stuff. What's your favorite part of your game to grind on? What's the part that you enjoy the most when you're working on your game?
Man. I don't know. I love the game so much.
Pretty tough question.
Yeah. I mean, what are you really asking? Because I'm taking it as, what do I need to work on, like, to get myself better? Or what am I working on that's, like, that I have down pat because I've always worked on it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, some drills are definitely easier than others, like, straight up. Yeah. Like, that's why I do some of the drills I do. But at the end of the day, when I really go and get into the gym, you know, it's like you polish what you've already got, you know, your expert badge at or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. You polishing that by doing a couple of drills. But when I'm really in there, especially by myself late at night when I go, I'm not going in there to just look cool for nothing, you know what I'm saying, for confidence of myself. I'm going in there to do the stuff that don't look that great, you know what I'm saying, the one I don't want nobody to really see because I need to work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that, and I feel like that's what it's supposed to be. Like, that's what it's about. That's what I've always done, honestly.
Yeah.
I ain't going there to, I'm pretty good at shooting threes, so I don't really go in there being like, I'm finna shoot these threes. Like, nah.
Feel good.
Nah, yeah, I'm finna go in there, you know what I'm saying, get my floaters in. Get, you know what I'm saying, my different finishes in, then start getting active, going off live balls, you know what I'm saying, like, or live ball screens, whatever like that, just different stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, and like I said, working on things I need to work on, you know, the three different tiers of basketball, you know what I'm saying, needing to be able to pull up in all of them, just the different variations of the game that you got to have aspects, so I don't know, I wouldn't say it's like a definite favorite, but I would definitely say, like, I go in there to attack my weaknesses.
Yeah. So does that, you feel like, because I don't think everyone's like that. You think working on the weakest part of your game is more, like, do you enjoy that?
Yeah, no. Like, but that's why I say, like, I go in there, like by myself. I don't go in there, you know, ask a person to come in, ask a manager to come in. Like, no, I can go in there and get in on my own. Like, just go in there and I'm going to attack my weakness, whatever I think my weakness is at that time is. You know what I'm saying? It's not no time to go out and showcase what I already know I can do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do those things, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to work on my weaknesses more than that.
Right.
You know, if I feel like I haven't been running the floor as well, like I'm going to get in there and run the floor, shooting, you know, like starting off at half court and just running and really getting a lot of space in, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like getting working on my moves, getting into the paint, you know, finishing, all that stuff, but just getting some cardio into or – if I think ball handling is an issue, I'm finna go out there and I'm finna come off a lot of screens, ball screens. I'm gonna do a lot of like, you know, dribbling down from half court, coming into my set or getting into my spots, you know, whatever it is, whatever I feel like I've been, you know, lacking on, I guess.
Right, that makes sense. That's a good way to look at it. So, kind of last thing I have for you, I was gonna ask you whether it's back to high school or whichever stage of college, who would you say is your hardest player to guard or a couple of the hardest players you've had to guard defensively? Nah. I remember last year, like we talked about, Big 12, tough league. And of course, yeah, you went all out defensively, but it being such a tough league, there were a lot of really good guards. So I see a lot of different ways you could go here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know what I'm saying, like respect to a lot of them dudes in the 12. But, I mean, I guess I would definitely have to break it up into tiers, though. Definitely can't. Throw it in there. I gotta, you know, say the situation, say the all that, so everybody can get the full feel for it.
Yeah,
but definitely for high school, guarded Alonzo Trier when I was a junior. He was a sophomore.
Okay,
he was good.
Where's Trier from?
I'm pretty sure he's from the DMV, like out that way.
Okay,
like, out east coast.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. But then he came to like a prep school in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Two of them. And then
I didn't realize that.
And then right before that, and then after that, he went to Montverde, and then he went to that other school.
Yeah. Okay, and then, so true in high school.
So, yeah, my fault. So him, who else in high school? Oh, and I didn't even figure it out until about 1 to 2 years later, but I played his team in AAU when I was in high school, and we're playing his team, and I ain't even going to lie, they put it on us, this Houston team. Put it on us. But like me and this dude, other left hand dude going back and forth, just like I probably had like about 30 some. He probably had close to that too. You know what I mean? And like a year or two goes by and all of a sudden it's like I figure out this kid that blew up is De'Aaron Fox. So I was like, yeah, he was tough. And like especially even for me, I'm left handed, it's still hard to guard left handed guards. Like you know what I mean?
It's mentally.
Just different. Yeah, you got to like flip a lot of things backwards of like your whole mechanics because you're taught so much of doing like things because everybody is usually, you know what I'm saying, like right-handed.
Yeah, no, yeah, the way it's right-hand typically does things, it's a different, it's a whole different thing.
Man, so then D1 college, man, I mean, I had some tough dudes I had to guard when I was at Pep, but not as many, you know what I'm saying, obviously in the Big 12, but some dudes from when I was at Pepperdine, like, Jared Brown, that dude went crazy. He had like put 50 on Arizona, like when he was a sophomore or something. Kevin Pangos, He was really good.
He can play.
Oh, yeah.
Tangos can play.
He was good. He was, yeah. He has some go. Tyler Hawes from BYU.
He, I remember him a little bit. I didn't get to see him as much.
Yeah. And then who else? Oh, them dudes from Iowa, they were kind of good. I don't really remember their names like that. Mm-hmm. Aaron White, maybe. He was tough.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's might have been it for that. But, like, Big 12? Ooh, there were some dudes. There were some dudes. You got, you know what I'm saying, Devontae Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was just Javon Carter?
That's who I was gonna
Javon
say.
Javon Carter, he really got some. He got a little bit of rhythm on his offensive game. He gonna try to start lulling you to sleep or whatever, hit you with something and go.
He's pretty savvy. Like he's a pretty savvy player. Like I think he's got a good shot to be a good player in the league. He's with the Grizzlies now.
Yeah,
but
I like guarding him. Trae Young.
Yikes!
Yeah. I like guarding him.
So did you get on it? Like you got on him a little bit?
Yeah.
What do you think of his game?
Yeah, no. And that's the, like, part of, you know, what you were talking about of, like, what makes them so good, like, dangerous or whatever to guard. Like just having to guard him from so far out because he'll really hit that. Like, he actually hit one, like, on me, but, like, we was far back, like, from the our logo. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I put my hand put my hand down, and before I could put it back up, he released it. I'm like, I don't even turn around and look because I'm like, there's no way, like, type stuff. And he got one of them. And I was on him though, but yeah, it was he's tough. Who else was really like that? That was really it for dudes you really like. Woo, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
caught your attention.
But there was a lot of other dudes. Man, shoot, really, dudes on our team.
Oh yeah,
K-Ridge and D-Bane, boy. K-Ridge, it was really like a lot of them dudes. K-Ridge, D-Bane, A-Rob, Fish, like them dudes are tough, man. Like, for real. Like, because I guarded all the, or even that dude from Iowa State that he be shooting the thing off of it, some last name Jackson, guarded him, or Whittington, got guarded him.
I was going to say Whittington.
He almost went to the league. Like, he came back, though, for his sophomore
year. He's a preseason Big 12 All-Conference.
Yeah, but they got him on the draft boards and stuff. But even them two, and I can still vouch and say, man, first off, Kimmeridge, tough guard, just because.
Kimmeridge Williams.
Yeah, because when the ball's in the air, that's the hardest part to guard him. You know what I'm saying? Because he's going to get it. So him, you know what I'm saying?
Kenrich is the most, like, not to cut you off, but Kenrich is the most instinctive rebounder, like, for his size.
It's like it's like he has, like, a little That's So Raven vision of where the ball finna go.
Yeah.
And then he come back and then go get it.
Yeah, no, Kenrich is great. And Kenrich Williams, for those who watched CC basketball last year, senior last year, and now he's with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah,
got a few minutes on the Pelicans, too. Oh, yeah. I like that. Oh, yeah. You think he's the toughest out of your TCU teammates, Kenrich?
Man,
it's tough.
Yeah, for that aspect of the, you gotta, like, you have to guard him when he has the ball, and you have to guard him when he doesn't have the ball. Like, legitimately, like, when the ball goes up, like, he's going to forget it, like, for real. So, like, yeah, that, because you don't ever get the rest. But you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of dudes had a lot of game, like, for real. A-Rob got his sauce. Fish Doc got his sauce. And yep. D-Bane, that boy, like, you know what I'm saying? He just, he young, too. That's the crazy thing. Like, all really, a lot of them, they all young.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then they really, boy, they got a bright, all of them dudes got bright futures, for real.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Dudes can go.
Yeah, I know Desmond Bane, like, coming out of high school, was, like, an unranked recruit, and then came to TCU and really surprised a lot of people right off the bat. Obviously, this year's his junior year.
He's going to have a shot. They're, like, legitimately, there's not that many dudes right now in the 12 that are better than him, like, flat out. Straight up like that. Like,
I feel the same way watching him a lot. He can really, really shoot it, and he can go in transition. I mean, he's a good athlete.
And people ain't seen really what he really does. Like we see because we had practice, and, you know, obviously people can shoot a lot of crazy stuff at practice because they know it's practice. But I'm saying, like, he finna let it go, for real. And it's going, because, like, from what I see every single day, and even when I've seen the game, which he goes crazy, but, like, what he can really, really do, we were sitting down the other day, like, I can't name three dudes that are legitimately overall better than him, like, guard-wise in there without, like, you know what I'm saying, like, a lot of size or, you know what I'm saying, certain stuff. I can't name three of them that's really going to be better than him. Like, he gonna have a shot, for, like, a real shot.
Yeah, he's a good player. I love watching him. He's
tough.
I mean, he's a hard worker on both ends.
Tough.
Good shooter. I mean,
size.
He's got all-around game. Yeah. Jalen Fisher, really good all-around game, too.
The fish doctor.
Yeah. The fish doctor.
Yeah, he's going to go crazy every time.
Yeah, yeah. It's Hopefully it'll be a good group this year, ranked preseason number 20. So
yeah. And then I gotta go throw ahead and throw to the NBA guys.
I was gonna ask you, like, who you think is the toughest to guard in the NBA? I know you like yeah. I mean you haven't had a chance. You had Fox yeah. and some of those guys. Even Trier, like, did you see the preseason, yeah. like he's getting buckets for yeah. the Knicks and he was undrafted. Yeah. So you've guarded a couple of those guys that are in the league now. Oh, yeah, but who do you see in the league? Who do you think is the toughest?
Like, shoot, James Harden. James Harden was tough to guard. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just going crazy. Played against him in LA. He actually came up to Pepperdine a couple times and played pickup.
Okay, so you played pickup with
yeah,
him before?
Yeah, yeah. No, we played Ooh, against a bunch of
that's crazy.
Like, being in LA, I played against like straight pros every like all the time, especially okay. in the summer.
Okay,
so him. Klay Thompson, actually, that's the crazy thing. So but right before he had that breakout season, when I said that my freshman year, he had that 65 or whatever, mm-hmm. he actually, his brother graduated from Pepperdine, Michael Thompson. So oh. he comes up to Pepperdine all the time.
Okay.
So he came up when, like, before I was even at Pepperdine, like, that summer going in, incoming summer, you know how you got to go for yep. summer school.
Yep.
So I'm not even, like, a real true freshman yet. He comes. And the crazy thing is, I played one game against them, and I guarded him, and it was just ridiculous. Like that was my first time really having to guard somebody as soon as it crossed half court. My first experience, and the first experience is guarding Klay Thompson. Ooh. Like, what? Like,
yeah, like maybe the greatest yeah, NBA like, shooter
like,
of all time.
Like, it's just like the biggest like jump. Like, come on, like this is a big jump. You feel me? So, yeah. but yeah, and then right after that, we lost, and they actually picked me up. So then I played with them, okay. like Klay, Michael, and then after that, we ran through everybody. You feel me? But it was cool. Like, that was really my first even interaction with the like a big celeb type stuff right there. And he wasn't even that big at that time. You feel
sure.
me? So him, James Harden, Stanley Johnson. His first year in the league, I played against him in the Drew League, and. He was really strong, like for real, like ox bull strong. And so it's crazy me seeing how he be hitting up with like bumping with LeBron this past year. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, like, I'm hitting him with moves. And it's not like I'm leaving him or whatever, but like he's slowing me down with the bumps. Like, he's hitting me, like holding me, like he's strong. I'm like, woo.
Mm-hmm.
This is what that league strength must be like then. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, him too. He was really strong.
That's how he looks. Like, it's like you mentioned, like him guarding LeBron and like him kind of guarding bigger players. You yeah. can see it in the league, and
yeah.
he looks like that. He looks strong. Yeah.
Brandon Jennings, just because he's so wild.
Jennings can ball. Like,
yeah, he's wild.
He's like just a mixtape waiting to happen.
Yeah, and then the way he just throws that thing out there, too. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you play against him too?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We was on the same Drew League team. Drew League is really when I played against a lot of the pros. But really just all runs. We had a coach, not our coach on the staff or nothing, but a coach that was just like, that's when he ran all that stuff. He knew all the league players. And he would, you know, even outside of Drew League, he would like make everybody know it's like the LA hoop runs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on like the second floor of this like the old Olympic like swimming training facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a second level, and like the courts are Nike. It's crazy. Like a DJ is up there and everything.
That's cool.
And you can get invited. Yeah, we'd be like some of the only college players that got invited, like us, USC, UCLA players, you know, like mm-hmm. the top of the that side.
Right.
And we go up there, and it's just straight pro. James Harden, Isaiah Austin, like just crazy players that are in there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, James, like I said, yeah, James Harden, just mm-hmm. crazy mm-hmm. dudes, like, and you just playing against them, and you're just like, okay, like, you're getting to go against them, Nick Young, all the time, like, just normal, you know. I even played in, like, a Santa Monica League, played, like, some pickup with Terrell Owens, like, he was on my team, like, he really hooped,
man.
Yeah, and he played football.
I've seen him play, like, here at, like, celebrity games, and, like, I've seen him on TV here and there.
He be hooping, for real.
He's a good athlete.
He be hooping. Metal World Peace, he be in there. And one time he rode a bike into the gym, straight into the gym, and just got straight off his bike. And, like, the shoes he had on was ready on the court. He was a strong – I went up on him for a layup, and he slapped my offhand. Like, he slapped down on the ball in my hand so hard, I thought both my hands was gone. Like, both of them – I thought he just slapped both of them off the joints. I looked down, yeah. like, and they just felt like they were, like, kind of, like, bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. He was so strong. Metal up, he's strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense.
Crazy strength.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, one of the best NBA defenders in his time. So.
Yeah. So yeah, it was that. It was fun.
Those I didn't realize you had like that much experience against pros, like in those.
That was it. Was fun.
Being LA pickup runs and stuff. Hey,
man, being in LA, it's the basketball mecca of the world. You know what I'm saying? So obviously that's why Bron went.
Of course.
They out there.
Up close with Chris Paul. I got to know about that, too. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty close with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Guard him, anything like that? Shifty. I got to hear about that. Shifty. Crafty.
Shifty, yeah. Crafty, shifty, just ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. The way he kind of, like, I think people don't realize, like, how hard it is to make guys look silly on an NBA court. Mm-hmm. And the way Chris Paul kind of does with his ball handling and kind of just his IQ, like, the way he kind of runs the floor, manages the game and everything. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy watching him for sure. So I bet that was pretty interesting playing against him.
Yeah, he does a lot of little small things too. It's crazy. Little small things crazy.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, you got guys at every level. That De'Aaron Fox thing is crazy too.
He's one of
my like favorite guys to watch in the NBA. Crazy. He's athleticism.
Man, the crazy thing is he was doing that like right before we played them. Like early, you know, obviously you play like same day for AAU. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching them just in the morning. This dude takes off on what was it? I think it was the Dallas Showtime. They were playing the Dallas Showtime, and this dude's tall. Like they had some dudes. Mm-hmm. This dude took off so crazy on him, lifted one. You know what I'm saying? One foot just banged it, left hand. I'm like, we playing them next? Like yeah, let's get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So and I found it was way after. He was like the number one point guard. I'm like, man, this dude looks real familiar. Mm. They say what AAU team played for. I said, yo, it's him. Like, that's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah. Again, like Chris Paul, kind of the way he makes dudes look silly on the NBA court is kind of one type. And then De'Aaron Fox, the way with his athleticism, getting up and down. I mean, he'll leave NBA guys in the dust completely.
Mm-hmm. He's so fast. With his speed. He got faster. That's crazy. Man. Like, that's what it looked like. Because back then, he was real skinny, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Legs. He'd take off, but it was just like, it just looked, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could bump him off course.
Mm-hmm.
That dude He's getting pretty explosive. He's starting to look kind of like, you know, Westbrook type explosiveness.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really good in the league still.
Yeah.
Pairing him up with Marvin Bagley.
In the league, they tough.
Yeah, I think they're going to be good. But anyway, Sean, thanks so much again for coming on with me, hanging out, talking ball. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's an honor, man. I really appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, I mean, if we get a chance to do it again, we'll do it again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I loved it. It seems cool to me. You know, love talking basketball. Love talking about life, especially with good people. So, yeah, like anytime, I'm here.
Absolutely, man. We'll have to do it again for sure. Y'all check us out on Twitter at @BDL_pod. Check us out again next week. We'll be back with another guest. And always remember, ball don't lie.